Crowhill here from Beer and Conversation with Pigweed and Crowhill. Today we review a hazy India Pale Ale and talk about the lockdown. Hello and welcome to Beer and Conversation with Pigweed and Crowhill. Good evening, Pigweed.
Good evening, Crowhill.
What's on your mind today?
Well, is the virus still a problem?
Certainly, it certainly seems that way by the statistics, yeah.
Yeah, they're still talking about, every day, deaths here and number of new cases, etc. But the parkway was crammed today. So, if the virus is still here...
Are we still...
We're clearly not locked down like we were in March when I drove to where I was the only person going to work.
Right.
Why aren't we still locked down?
Okay, right. So, it's a good question.
But where are we? Is the virus gone?
No, the virus is not gone.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, so.
I just read that there's a new mutation of the virus.
Okie dokie. Yeah, lovely. Thank you, China.
Yes, thanks. So, what do we got here?
We have a very appropriate beer, don't we?
Yes, we do. No more handshakes. And it's got two images here. Of bumping elbows,
yeah.
And I haven't seen that one. Bumping foot.
You could do foot taps.
Foot taps.
Oh, here, what does it say? Boot tap only.
Boot tap only. Okay, boot tap or elbow tap, but okay.
No more handshakes.
No more handshakes. They say brewed by Three Stars Brewing Company, and it's a hazy India Pale Ale, which normally people associate with the New England style.
I know, but it's gotten so big, we've just poured New England. We've just dropped the New England.
Just dropped
off.
The New England. Off
just say, all right, we're all. Wow, and it's cloudy.
It is cloudy.
Really can't see through it at all.
It's got quite a bit of aroma.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah.
That's got
that's
all
tasty.
The characteristics of your New England, and...
To me, it's a little bit West Coast-y, in the sense that you don't get... Sure. Like a lot of New England IPAs, you still get that... kind of chewy mouthfeel and the malty backbone. And this one is almost like a blending of a West Coast IPA and a New England IPA. That's my take on it. I think it's delicious. But it doesn't have that same kind of chewiness that you get from some New England
IPAs. But it does have all of that West Coast citrusness.
Yes, it does. So they list the hops here, which I don't even know. Vic Secret.
Nope.
Montueca and Citra Cryo hops. I've never used any of those. There's so many hops around nowadays, it's amazing.
Well, that's the thing I've been meaning to do. So now they have these cryo hops, so it's just regular Citra, except for instead of Citra being a normal 14, it's a Citra 27.
What do you do with that?
That's what I was asking the guys. I'm like, what do you do with it? You said, well, it's pretty much just for dry hop.
Right, because in the batch sizes we do, we'd be just like putting in a micro
brew,
the tiniest little bit, just like brush the hops a little bit, All right, so pretty good. I like Three Stars is DC, right?
Yeah, you know the three stars on the flag.
That's right. So another local guy. Well done, fellas. Good job. This is pretty good.
I do like it.
I like it.
And it's got 16 ounces. Even though they didn't tell me the ABV anywhere, but I always have to assume it's in the 7.5.
It's 7% by volume.
All right.
There we go. So, lockdown. Why were we locked down anyway?
So, what was the purpose to begin with? And after we define that purpose, was it achieved?
Yeah. So as I recall, this is going back months, right? The whole purpose of the lockdown was to avoid overrunning the healthcare system. Because what they were afraid of was that so many people would be infected, the hospitals would be so full, that we'd run into a situation like they had in Italy, where they had people, out in the hallway, out on the street, on stretchers and so forth, because they couldn't get them into the hospitals. And they thought, that's not going to happen here. So they said, no, we're going to close things down, we're going to get this under control, so that we don't overwhelm the healthcare system.
But I don't think that was the common wisdom of the time.
No.
I think people thought that we're going to stay in...
Until we're all safe.
Until we're all safe.
Yeah, I think that was...
And that's what I kind of morphed into.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they were ever completely honest with going, look, people, we're all going to get it. This thing is going to have to burn itself out. We're all going to get sick.
Right.
But we just don't want to all get sick at the same time.
Right.
But that's not the message that people were getting.
No.
The message was, if you stay inside, you won't get sick.
Well, I think there was, unfortunately, some false hope about an early vaccine. They were saying, you know, let's all stay in our homes until they come up with a magical vaccine
till science fixes this.
Yeah, which is just an absolutely outrageous thing to expect, because it takes a long time to develop a vaccine.
Yeah, we don't have effective vaccines for the common flu that comes around every year. What is it, like 40%, 60% effect? Each year varies, but it's still like, well, you know, that's not a bad idea, because at least it offers you some kind of a chance.
Yeah.
But it's not a lockdown, you won't get the flu if you get a flu shot.
Now, they have, because of all the attention paid to this virus, they have made some fantastic advances in care and, you know, figuring out better ways to treat people. So fewer people are dying because they've figured out, you know, better techniques for dealing with it and whatnot. So that's all good. And
right, because originally it was like, everybody who got sick had to have a respirator. And so we need 5 million respirators, and now we have to get GM to...
Yeah, the respirator.
And then you realize, like, you know what? Once you get to the respirator stage, this is really not going to...
Yeah, and not as many... There is never a shortage of respirators. There's so much... There's so much misinformation
and political, intentional misinformation.
Yes.
All right. The fact that we don't understand it and we're acting like we do is just sort of negligence.
Yeah.
But then there's just straight up political advantage,
exactly,
which is even more
straight
like,
up.
We're trying to not die here. Can you get out of the way, Chris Cuomo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to get back to Chris Cuomo. So it seems to me what we're doing now is saying, don't gather too closely.
Right.
Wear masks when you have to gather closely.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't we have done that in the very beginning?
The problem was there were a lot of things they didn't know earlier. So we should talk about masks for a minute here.
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah. So the problem was early on there were certain things that they didn't know about this particular virus. And one of the things they didn't know was that some people could spread it before they had symptoms. And they didn't know that. Another thing they didn't know was that some people might have it full-blown and never have symptoms. Apparently, up to a quarter of the people who get coronavirus are asymptomatic, but they can still spread it. So what that means is there's a fair number of people out there, either people who are early on in the infection and will eventually develop symptoms, or who have it at whatever stage and will never develop symptoms, who are walking around breathing out the virus on other people, right? They didn't know those things. And they also, we didn't have enough masks for everybody in the country to wear masks. So they thought that it was important to reserve the masks for healthcare workers.
Right.
So for all those reasons, early on...
They were saying, don't buy masks.
Exactly, yeah. Early on, they were saying, don't get a mask. Save those for the healthcare workers. And then there's another complication to this, which was there have been studies showing that masks are not effective. But the key thing there is not effective for what? Right?
Yeah.
Because the question of the effectiveness of the mask is, does it protect you, the wearer of the mask, or does it protect other people?
Yeah.
So there have been studies showing that wearing a mask does not protect you, the wearer.
Yeah.
But there have been other studies that show that wearing a mask does protect everybody else. So, like, let's say I'm asymptomatic, and I'm breathing out the virus. If I'm wearing a mask, that mask is catching a huge portion of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not exposing other people.
Right.
So
for me, when they criticize the guy who's got his nose out, I'm like, well, you're protected from that guy. He's just not protecting himself.
Yeah, that's not the right way to look at it. Because the point of the mask is not to protect you. The point of the mask is to protect everybody else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so so don't be alarmed by the guy who's got his nose hanging out. As long as he's covering his mouth, you're okay. He's still endangering himself.
Well, I don't know if he sneezes, though. Isn't he going to sneeze that stuff out?
Well, you did, but it is a coughing. I mean, it could be, but it's, sneezing is not really a part of the symptoms. It's
no. Coughing. That's true. That's true. But if he sneezes for some other reason, I suppose he'd be blowing it all around. But yeah. So the idea of wearing a mask is to protect other people, not to protect yourself. And so there's been a lot of confusion about the mask things. And I spent a fair amount of time looking around, watching a couple of videos, and there are some really nutty videos out there, and reading some articles about what the science says. And it does seem pretty clear that wearing a mask does prevent the transmission to other people, but it doesn't really protect you.
But it's more, in terms of the lockdown,
right?
What we're doing right now, opening things up and just saying, hey, you know, now we're not opening everything up. We're not having, you know, packed concerts,
right?
But this idea of non-essential jobs. Everybody should just be going to their jobs, and to what degree that you can space yourself out and not breathe on each other, which is exactly what we do in my work. Nobody's doing anything at all. The only thing is that work is down to the point where a third of the people have been laid off, so there's a lot of space there just for that reason. But nobody wears masks, and we lean over each other's shoulders and look on each other's screens day, every day. So,
right. Which is probably not a good thing. Let me say a couple other things about masks. There are some other things that have come up about masks. And one thing is, if masks are so necessary, why are there no standards for what kind of mask to use? Because they say, you know, wrap a scarf around your face, or you know, wear this kind of mask, wear that kind of mask. It doesn't...
No, you said some people, it's like, I forgot my mask. They go, just pull your shirt up over your nose.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is that actually does prevent a lot of the stuff that you sneeze. It's kind of like sneezing into your elbow. You know, that's not some magical, fancy N95, N's, whatever that is, mask.
But what about just regular breathing? Is it only the case that you have to expectorate? You have to kick something out of your lungs in order to cause a problem? Or if you're infected and you're just like... walking around, breathing like a regular person breathes.
I don't know. One of the things that I'm surprised there hasn't been more of a ooh yuck reaction to with all this is now we all realize that we're all spraying respiratory droplets on one another all the time, right? Apparently, we're just like spreading all this junk around all the time, and nobody's really sure.
I know. I was watching a movie recently made. People are at a party and everybody's shaking each other's hands. I'm going, look at all the germs being passed around. You know,
I know
what I mean?
It sort of
made you conscious of it, which has always been happening in the entire history of humanity.
Yeah.
We've been dealing with infectious diseases, but we haven't ever shut down the world's economy because people are getting sick.
Yes, it's very different now. So another thing that, as I was looking up this mask stuff, another thing that kind of caught my attention was the 6 feet distance thing. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a conflict between the Centers for Disease Control and the WHO. Centers for Disease Control says 6 feet, WHO says 3 feet.
The science
is so settled that these two guys can't even agree.
Yeah, well, but again, a deep, brutal hacking cough.
It goes 15 feet.
It goes farther than, I'm just standing here breathing.
Right. Yes.
So
now I also read this. If 80% of the population were wearing masks, that would do more to reduce COVID-19 spread than a strict lockdown. So back to your point earlier about, you know, why the lockdown. If we could have had everybody wearing masks, just going to work and say, okay, you can go to work, just wear a mask. Yeah. That would have been more effective than the lockdown.
Yeah. And, I want to get into the fact that we have no consideration whatsoever to the consequences, the economic and social consequences of this. But I would like to talk just some about, there are some people who just love the lockdown.
Oh, I know. I know. I think Amazon loves it to death.
What did I just send you the other day? That Bezos made $10 billion
in a day or something? Yeah, I know.
So that's one. How about just the elitists who can work from home, make the same money that they always have, and can have somebody, some other poor schlub, deliver everything that they want?
That's
He's got to be out in the world.
Right.
You don't, And you can get on your high horse and tell everybody out how you're the patriotic one doing the right thing by staying at home. Yeah, but you're requiring all of these other schlubs to deliver stuff for you.
Right.
So, yeah. And then say, like, well, it's just an inconvenience. Yeah, okay. To you, because you don't know anybody who's lost their income.
Right. Yes. So and a lot of people have lost their jobs, and a lot of people are scared to death working these necessary positions, you know, working in warehouses, working in delivery jobs, working
in the food industry. What are you eating? Where do you think that food comes from?
I mean, let alone the nurses and all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah. So, yes, there are a lot of people who are stuck in these essential positions who are scared to death because they feel like they're exposed.
How about lazy and unproductive people who can stay at home in their pajamas and feel sanctimonious and call themselves patriotic.
And while they're getting government assistance for unemployment.
Well, you've got finger-wagging, scold-wench busybodies who have always been the type that like to tut-tut their neighbors to begin with. Well, now they can look around and see somebody
walking their dog
without a mask on. Right. They love the lockdown because that gives them an opportunity to be the...
They want to be the busybody scold. That's right.
Well, politicians are in the business of telling people what to do. So now everybody's laser. Now I don't have to go through my legislatures. I don't have to go to city council or anybody. I just start declaring who's allowed to do what, buy what, go into what store, garden.
You can't buy peas. You can't buy seeds to raise your own peas because I don't know why.
Exactly. So these people they're already inclined to be that person or they wouldn't have become a politician to begin with. And
That's
so
right.
Now they're a politician on steroids. They love it.
Right.
What else do we have here? Oh, what about
environmentalists? A lot of my environmentalists think that this is doing wonders for the economy or for the environment because people aren't driving. That, you know, a lot of the economy is shutting down, which honestly is the agenda of the radical environmentalists.
They love it, right? Yeah. So there's less plane travel, less car travel.
The earth is healing.
There was a turtle swimming around the waters of Venice, and it was so beautiful because there weren't any boats in there to stir it up, so you could see this turtle swimming through, and look at
all. He was always swimming through there. You just couldn't see him before.
Yeah. So, yes, the idea of shutting down the world's economy is good for the planet. Well, I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I'm shutting down the world's... Yep.
It might be. It might be good for the planet.
If half the planet died tomorrow, that would be good for the planet.
Probably would be good for the planet. Not a good thing on the grand scale.
A good thing for the rest of us.
Right.
So anybody who has a specific job has a job because that job makes them feel important if somebody's relying on their information.
Yeah,
so
right.
An epidemiologist, his job is to follow diseases and nobody really cares about what he does.
Until now,
he's on the news, and journalists are calling him every day, and he's got to feel great about this. He's front and center stage.
But isn't it funny how everybody on social media who used to be a legal expert is suddenly an epidemiologist?
I know. Oh, yeah, or you'll just get some, newscaster arguing with the doctor
because they've already come
to their conclusion about this thing,
right.
And then somebody comes in and doesn't agree with them. These people are journalists. Don't you ask other people what to do?
That's what you're supposed to do.
No, that's not what happens anymore. CNN, it's like, I'm going to bring you on to berate you for not sharing my opinions. Like, I thought you were just going to ask me questions and I was going to answer them since I'm an expert.
Right.
What if the guy who's an expert on cicadas, every 7 years, he gets a phone call from somebody to ask, and he's got to feel so great about that.
Sure.
You know?
This is the year I'm going to be on the news.
So epidemiologists love this lockdown because they're the ones dictating it. How about this guy here? You brought me down. So
Democrats love the lockdown because anybody who wants to get rid of Trump, Democrats and or anybody who wants to get rid of Trump loves the lockdown because the more lockdown, the worse the economy is, and the worse the economy is, the less likely Trump will be reelected. So,
are you saying that people are willing to tank the economy, put millions of people through financial hardship, just to get for political gain?
I am saying that. Yes, I think that's
wow.
I think that's transparently obvious that's what a lot of people are doing.
Which is yeah, right. And so let's just take it up one level. Not only do I want to see people suffering financially, a high body count would also help.
Yes.
Literally.
I know.
You are okay with large numbers of people dying in order to
tank Trump's chances of becoming the next becoming president again. I know.
Is there anything more awful than that?
I don't know. It's
don't
really
make me go
awful.
To Hitler.
It is really awful. But I am convinced that a lot of people are so motivated by hatred of Trump and desire to get rid of him
that they would
rather do something that is bad for kids, you know, keeping them out of school, bad for people's health, because you know when you shut everything down, there are consequences to that. There's a lot of people who need regular medical attention on regular stuff that they're not getting because of the lockdown, and that has health consequences. So people are there are you know, people say that we're doing the lockdown to save lives, but I'm sorry, it also costs lives. It costs livelihoods and it costs lives.
Yeah.
Because people who should be getting regular kinds of treatments are not getting those regular treatments, and that is causing their long-term conditions to get
worse.
Yeah,
and what about the kinds of financial ruin that will last for a generation?
Yes.
Of all of the businesses that will never reopen
again. Never come back.
And now this guy who's run a restaurant just barely above the margin, you know, for 20 years, it's like, I can't do it anymore. Now,
right.
now
what does he do?
Now he's got to, you know, go find a job making half what he was making before.
If he can find a job.
Well, how about socialists who think that work is slavery and that money should be free? So he's like, well, what's the difference? What's the big deal? It shouldn't be
just pretty much more money.
We should have been working anyway.
You know, now I do have a theory about this whole printing money thing that I need to run by you.
Okay, because so, I'm curious. But, it seems like that's all you need to do.
Yeah, I know. So there have been a lot of people who for a long time have been saying that we should just print more money, right? And give everybody more money and things will be better,
sure.
Right? And other people would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It's going to cause inflation and, you know, right? So there's been this sort of macroeconomic debate going on for a long time about printing money and inflation and what's the cause on the economy and all that. Well, we've been kind of testing that right now.
Yeah.
We've been printing all this money. We've been giving away money. And it's going to be interesting. I think for the next few years to come, we're going to have all the analysis and debate over what really happened when the government just decided to start printing money and handing it out all over the place.
Yeah, and we may find out that Bernie Sanders was right all along.
And we can just print tons of money.
Everything should be free.
That's right. You know, I wonder about that.
If we're not seeing the economic consequences yet, the Wall Street's not reacting to it. They're not worried about it.
I know. I mean, maybe a year from now, we're all going to say, Andrew Yang was right. Just give everybody $1,000 a month. And everything will be fine.
Everything will be better than
fine. You know,
what
maybe,
the hell?
It might turn out that it really is that way. I don't know. I don't know this macroeconomic stuff. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
No.
But here we are, dumping money into the economy.
And from climate models and virus models, I don't care about economic models.
Exactly. I mean, all the models are wrong. Some of the models are pretty cute, but a lot of them...
You're talking.
But the models all tend to be kind of crap. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? All right. Now here's one that I have a hard time with. Why do people want to keep the schools closed? So the kids really aren't at risk.
No.
There is apparently no example of a kid giving the virus to a teacher. Or
right.
Vice versa. Like, there's no...
You shouldn't be hugging your kids anyway, you
I
creep.
Know, exactly. So there hasn't been... Now, I guess what the concern is if you get all the kids together, that they'll become little petri dishes that'll take it back to grandma and get grandma sick. Okay? That may be true. All right. But is it really worth it to, like, destroy, like, a year of education for... That's going to have serious repercussions for these kids' lives. Could you imagine if just, like, a year of your education was ripped out?
Yeah. Well, we've already gotten the word that the entire first semester is virtual.
I know.
In this county.
And I know, it's crazy. I don't understand how they expected this.
So, right. So, basically, anybody under 45, it's no worse than the common flu.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about people under 18. So if it's the common flu for somebody who's 40, what does it mean for somebody who's 18?
Yeah, apparently for younger people, it's really not a problem. So I don't understand why they're completely closing down school. And what does the education establishment get out of this?
Yeah, well, and how about this? So a teacher who thinks that, you know, this is such a threat to her that she should not be forced to go back. Yeah, but how about the people who are delivering stuff to you?
Right.
How about the people in the supermarket?
Exactly.
So you are less essential. I thought the public education was the most essential thing that we have in the country.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me that you as a teacher are not nearly as essential as a guy stocking shelves at Walmart.
Right. Okay. Fair point. Yeah. So I don't get how we can just do this to the education system and have kids.
Because if we found out that the virtual, the online thing is not working.
No.
In Los Angeles County, it was like 40% of the kids did absolutely nothing at all during the entire second, last semester.
And they're going to do that again this semester?
And they're going to do it again this semester.
Yeah. It's just useless. And I think one of the long-term effects of this is a lot of families are going to say, forget this public school stuff, we're going to start homeschooling.
Well, I've already seen it. You know, there's already an uptick.
Right.
And homeschooling, private care, and...
The Babylon, the paper of record, the Babylon Bay, was absolutely brutal on teachers. They said teachers, not content with having summer off, now expect to have the whole year off. No, that's unfair, of course, because they are actually trying to teach virtually and everything else, but it was pretty funny.
No, that's pretty funny. Yeah. It's always funny.
Babylon Bee is pretty good. So who else is in favor of this lockdown?
Well, germaphobes.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many people. You know, I am not a germaphobe. I don't worry about all that kind of stuff. I think that I have this thing called an immune system, and that, like, being exposed to germs actually is a good thing because it makes my immune system stronger. So I really don't pay attention to a lot of that kind of stuff. But I tell you, the people who are germaphobes, they are having the time of their life. They're like shaming people for not washing their hands for long enough. They're, you know, what, you touched that doorknob and didn't wash it off?
Hold on, Babylon Bee.
Yeah?
It turns out that Pontius Pilate did not wash his hands long enough to absolve himself from the... That was the real crime.
That's a good one.
He did not wash his hands long enough.
That's pretty good.
Oh, gosh. People think of Christians as being so humorless. Please spend a little time with Babylon. These are Christians who can really have a good time.
They are pretty funny. All right, we already mentioned Jeff Bezos. He loves
All right, so in a very short time, we could know. So we've gone through, that was all under the who loves the lockdown,
right?
Who doesn't love the lockdown? I'm saying it's freedom-loving people and people who need to work to eat, which is basically most of the world.
Right. Yeah, so a lot of people say...
Who don't have any power and whose voices aren't out there, who are not backed up by any of the political elites, but basically everybody.
Yeah, people want to get back to work. You know, work is an important thing. It's not like if all of a sudden we just gave everybody a bunch of money, everything would be fine. No, people need to have a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
They need to feel like they're doing something.
Yeah.
People need to work. That's the way it is. And... You know,
yeah, and then you're right. And then you have the old late night comic crowd mocking the idea that people want to go back to work.
Well, they might not.
Guess what? They actually do.
Yeah, people do want to work. People like doing something. Even if you just gave everybody a bunch of money, it's short term.
Yeah, you still have to have purpose and meaning and responsibility, and then otherwise you just spend it all on meth.
And also, if they're giving them all this money, if you can give somebody a bunch of money, but then once that's over, your restaurant is still gone, your small business is still gone, you know, your profession is still gone.
So the guy whose identity was part of this 25-year family tradition Italian restaurant, you're going, Don't worry about that. Here's some money. What do you think that does for that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, he's going to say, okay,
stop giving
them
money. The restaurant's gone, and then now what?
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, what are you worried about? You're not suffering anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but my restaurant's gone.
Yeah. So it would have been smarter, rather than doing the lockdown, it would have been smarter to maybe do a temporary lockdown to ramp up production of face masks.
True. Right? Yeah.
Okay, because we didn't have enough. So maybe do a temporary lockdown and go to...
Although at the time, all you could have said is I don't know, cut off the sleeve
exactly.
of a T-shirt
exactly.
and put it over your nose, well, and that'll be your mask until we get real
there
masks.
There you go, that's true.
Because that's doing...
That's true.
And we wouldn't have to shut down the whole
the quality
damn
of the
world.
Mask, the quality of the mask really doesn't matter all that much in terms of protecting other people. So that's true. We wouldn't even have to do that. But instead of doing this huge lockdown, we should have just said, okay, fine, everybody wears masks.
Yeah, and give yourself a little bit of space, and we're not gonna have concerts and sporting events and things where hundreds of people are rubbing shoulders.
But
in
let's
small
have regular
spaces.
Business. Let's have regular business.
Yes, the regular business. We are going to continue to have regular business and not decide who's essential and who isn't essential.
Right.
But yes, large public gatherings, fine.
Yeah.
All right, Babylon B. Churchgoers disguise themselves as rioters in order to attend service.
Exactly. The Babylon Bee, they those guys are geniuses.
Killing it every day.
I know. They're so good.
They don't get right. And it's not like they come out with four or five per month. I mean,
no, it's four or five a day. They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
So we talked about the wisdom of the lockdown in terms of a medical and scientific manner.
Yeah.
What it's done to the economy is something we just don't even, nobody even talks about.
Nobody
it's
knows.
Not, it's not even
yeah.
important.
I know, yeah.
Apparently, right? That's not really an issue.
All that's really important is making sure that Donald Trump doesn't get reelected, apparently.
Yes, and right. call, right, and saying that if you do want to resume normal life, then you are choosing profit over lives.
Right.
You want people. You want to hear the dumbest story. I didn't even have to read it. All I had to read was the headline. This is from Time magazine. So now that New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are already, if they were countries, would be the three worst countries in the world.
Okay.
By double. Just to give you the numbers, Belgium is the worst in the world.
Yeah.
New Jersey is double Belgium.
Wow.
Now they're being praised, these democratic states, and while they criticize Arizona, Texas, and Florida. So this is the article is, so these so-called pro-life states don't really care about life.
Right.
I mean, how stupid do you have to be to draw this analysis, meaning if you don't shut your economy to the ground, you are part of a death cult. That's another term dumbass right. Chuck Todd
said that?
One of those jerks. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So to just completely misunderstand how the relationship between, just for political gain.
Right. Right. Yes, and that's why, I mean, you asked me before, did I really believe that people would be willing to see people get sick, see people get die, see people die, see people lose their livelihoods, see the economy crash, right. all just to get rid of Donald Trump? Yeah, right. Absolutely, I think
and,
they would
to,
do that.
To draw some correlation between pro-life, if you're pro-opening up, that means you're pro-death. How can you be pro-death and pro-life? Huh? How's that in your face? They work at Time magazine. They have to be smarter than I am, right? I mean, how would I ever get a?
I don't know.
They never get a job. They're not smart enough to write for them.
You would think so.
And that's idiotic. All right. So, the last thing. Let me just wrap up here. Listen to the Brendan O'Neill show, which
right.
I've become a fan of.
Okay.
And this concern. So you've got the concern about the medical aspect of the lockdown, whether or not it makes any sense.
Yeah.
The political aspect of it.
Yeah.
Lockdown. The economic aspect.
Yeah.
She's like, well, what about the social consequences?
Okay.
Now, what has it done to us as human beings who are social animals?
Right.
Right? We're supposed to be interacting with ourselves all the time. So I jotted down a little bit about, so Lionel Shriver, she, have you ever heard of a woman named Lionel?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So she's living in Britain, apparently, a novelist. She says, "We are being taught to regard anyone else, including our friends, as sources of lethal contagion. People are to be avoided. Socializing has become a form of evil. Government is going to force you to think of other humans as the enemy. We are being educated to become misanthropes."
Wow. And so
it's like, whoa. She's like, what about this aspect of the clock down?
So what political impact will that have long term? If you start to see other people as a threat and the enemy.
Responsible for contamination, you know, right? Rather than your fellow brothers and sisters.
Right.
Now other people are to be feared and held with suspition.
Wow.
So that was kind of her angle. They went through all the other parts, but that was the part that I had not considered and really enjoyed. She just said it's just a horrible way to live. And,
wow.
And so Brendan brings up, he says, in his local area, you know, local British pubs, you know, during the day, basically you just find, like, an old guy with a newspaper and a pint, and really that's his only interaction with the world.
With other people, right, yeah.
And so that guy has been sitting at home for 4 months. You don't think there are any consequences for this old guy?
Of course there are. It's terrible. All right, so this is really depressing. We need to have something a little more interesting to talk about here.
How about a man of the week?
How about a man of the week? Okay. So, I don't know if this is a particular man, but Red Bull, the company.
I think it's
You think it's Dietrich?
Yeah.
Okay. So, apparently there were within the company that runs Red Bull.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people who were pushing for diversity and inclusion and all this other kind of weirdo stuff that, you know, in terms of real diversity and real inclusion, I'm absolutely in favor of it. If you're talking about real diversity and real inclusion, absolutely, God bless you, that's fantastic. But the problem is the people who talk about diversity and inclusion aren't really interested in diversity and inclusion. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's really just a bunch of nonsense. But these agitators who were trying to come in and, you know, cause all this trouble, they just fired them. They just said, no, sorry.
Red Bull just reminded their wokest employees who calls the shot in a total massacre of justice warrior employees.
Social justice warrior employees. And that's like, hallelujah. Somebody's fighting back.
He says, there's no appeasing these people. The only way forward is to fire them as quickly as possible and with no mercy. Err on the side of firing everyone if need be.
All right. Way to go.
But however, so let's just say I ask you, hey, what's wrong with diversity and inclusion?
Huh? Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Big monster?
If you mean real diversity and real inclusion, fine. And okay. And also, what do you mean by diversity? Are we going to have people working for Red Bull, people who like Red Bull, people who hate Red Bull, people who think Red Bull is the worst thing that ever happened to the planet?
Or that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about?
That's
the problem.
Yeah. I'm talking about a policy whereby you guarantee you that I will discriminate against people coming in the door who want to work here because I need to select out a certain number of color skin to work in my job.
Right.
You see, and he's saying, all right, this is, we're trying to sell a product here.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's the silliness of it, is trying to think that only specific, there's an infinite number of ways to divide up people, right? You can divide people by so many different characterizations, but the diversity and inclusion people want to divide people up only by a couple of characteristics. They want it by their color, by their sexuality, by their
Can you ask somebody sexuality during the interview?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not.
No, of course not. You're like, hey, how gay are you? Okay, you got the job. Yeah. What? That's not how interviews right?
It's not the way it goes. So the idea that every factor, the way you can divide people, must be equally represented in everything, that's just ridiculous. Nothing in life works out that
doesn't,
way.
That's just not life.
No. No, so the people who want to promote...
Otherwise, there'd be more white basketball players.
Right, yeah. So the people who want to promote this kind of standard, where, no, we have to have more people who look this way or more people who look that way. No, what we need to have is more competent people who know how to sell our product. And can we maybe try some things to get more of this group or that group? Okay, fine. Within reason, that's a good thing to do. But the woke social justice warrior crowd have taken this way too far, and these guys...
This is an Austrian company, okay?
Okay.
It's North American chief executive, Stefan Kozak, and right. Amy Taylor, its North American president and chief marketing officer, have left the company.
Okay.
So, from Austria, what's his name?
Dietrich Medeschitz? Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe I should apply. A man of many billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Who says,
I think
you
I'll
know
give
what?
Him a call.
This is probably going to be, this is more aggravation than it's worth.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Be fair in hiring, of course. I mean, what else is there to talk about?
I know. Exactly. But the idea of saying you have to have 20% that look this way and 20% that look this way.
Isn't that racism?
Of course it is.
Isn't that hiring on the base of race? What do you mean? I thought we just spent 30 years trying to get rid of that. And now all of a sudden that's the most woke idea you've ever come up with?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm really glad to see somebody standing up against it.
Thank you, Dietrich.
Dietrich, you are the man of the week. Well done.